Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during December. You won't need a telescope or fancy equipment. Just bundle up warmly and find a clear view of the sky. Alas, another year is drawing to a close. I'm reminded of that because on December 21st at 5:44 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we reach a celestial turnaround point, the solstice. This Latin word means sun stands still. At that moment, the sun has traveled farthest south in the sky, shining directly down on Earth's Tropic of Capricorn in the southern hemisphere. And then it reverses direction to gradually move northward among the stars. Weather-wise, this date marks the astronomical beginning of summer in the southern hemisphere and of winter up here in the north. So what's worth looking for when the sun is not in the sky? Well, for starters, the phases of the moon seem to be nicely in sync with the calendar right now. On December 1st, look for a super thin crescent low in the southwest soon after sunset. The moon swells to first quarter on the night of December 6th, then offers us what's known as the full cold moon, for obvious reasons, on the 13th. Last quarter follows on the 20th, and we cycle back to new moon on the night of the 28th. Planet-wise, you'll be treated to two obvious ones in the evening twilight as December begins, with a third making an appearance later in the month. Venus is dominating in the west as it gets dark, and now sets about 3 hours after the sun. To its upper left, by a little less than twice the width of your outstretched fist, look for the red planet Mars. Mars and Venus draw closer throughout December, and they'll be only about one fist apart later in the month. The red planet was much brighter and easier to spot back in May, when it was closer to the Earth than it's been for a decade. So if you're not sure whether you've spotted Mars, check on the evening of December 4th or 5th. That's when the crescent moon will be close by. Making an entrance low in the southwest is fast-moving Mercury. To see it, you'll need to go out about 30 minutes after sunset and find a spot with no trees or buildings to block your view toward the southwest. You can start looking about December 6th or 7th. Start with Mars, then draw an imaginary diagonal line to the lower right through Venus and toward the horizon. Mercury will be along that line, about as far from Venus as Mars is. The little planet will be easier to spot night by night for the next week, and then it will sink in the twilight and get dimmer toward month's end. Okay, after that, once it gets good and dark, make a sweeping turn to your left, almost all the way around. The majestic stars of Orion veritably leap up over the eastern horizon around 7 p.m. at the beginning of the month, but you'll see Orion soon after sunset by month's end. Look for the Hunter's distinctive belt of three stars, oriented as a vertical row, as the constellation climbs into the sky. This belt is flanked by ruddy Betelgeuse to its left and icy white Rigel to its right. If you create an imaginary line defined by Orion's belt, and follow it upward by about twice the width of your fist, you'll spot a modestly bright star showing the slightest hint of a red color. This is Aldebaran, the angry eye of Taurus the bull. It's a red giant star about 44 times the sun's diameter and more than 500 times its brightness. Aldebaran doesn't seem that bright because it's 65 light years away. This means that the light from Aldebaran that's hitting your eye left that star in 1951, when Harry Truman was President of the United States. Aldebaran has been known by many names over time. Ancient Persians knew it as Tacheter, and the Romans called it Parhelion. If you lived in the Middle Ages, you might have used Cor Tauri, meaning heart of the bull. Hindu astronomers know it as the lunar mansion Rohini, meaning the red one. But the actual name Aldebaran is Arabic for the follower. And what is this star following? That would be the Pleiades, seen just one fist higher up in the sky. It's a small fuzzy spot, but look harder and you'll realize that it's actually a little cluster of stars, small enough to cover up with the tip of your little finger. How many individual stars can you count in the cluster? 5 or 6? 7? Another name for the Pleiades is the Seven Sisters, and I'll have more to say about them next month. But get this, the Japanese call this cluster Subaru. Yep, just like the car. In fact, The next time you see a Subaru on the street, check out the logo. It's a stylized star cluster. Aha! There's one other star to mention in this part of the evening sky. Well to the cluster's left, about three-fifths away, is Capella, derived from the Latin word for goat. It's in the constellation Auriga, the mythological charioteer who doubles as a goat herder. December is also the month that features the return of one of the year's very best meteor showers, the Geminids. From a clear, dark location, you might see one meteor per minute or more when it peaks on the nights of December 13th and 14th. You can start looking a few days before that and continue a few days afterward. And unlike some meteor showers, you don't have to stay up until the wee hours to see the Geminids, because here at mid-northern latitudes, the show starts by about 9 p.m. However, the problem this year is that the full moon also falls on the 13th. So the very faintest Geminids will be washed out, but you should still be able to see some of the brighter ones. So why do we see these particular meteors every mid-December, like clockwork? Meteor showers happen when our planet plows through a stream of fine particles that have been shed by a comet and spread out along its orbit. Earth crosses the Geminids' orbit each December. But these meteors are unusual. Their source isn't a comet, but an asteroid called Phaethon. Now, Phaethon isn't very large, only about 3 miles across, and it was discovered fairly recently in 1983. Before then, no one knew where the Geminids came from. Phaethon's most remarkable distinction is that it approaches the Sun closer than any named asteroid. Its perihelion is only 13 million miles from the Sun. That's less than half Mercury's perihelion distance, and it means that temperatures on that rock can climb to more than 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Astronomers think Phaethon once was a comet, but that all of its ices were baked away long ago. And those little flecks of dust, they might be pieces of Phaethon that have literally cracked from the heat and flown off into space. If you want more sky watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. Until next time, I wish you clear skies.